Chapter 13, Work of Redemption. The work of redemption is that part of the covenant of grace which was appointed for God the Son to fulfill. For this purpose, his Father gave him, sent him from his own bosom, his own beloved and only begotten Son, to become man, so that being God and man in one person, he could be a mediator between God and men. Mankind had sinned and become estranged from God, and it needed one to mediate between the two. And who could be sufficient for so great a work but he who is God as well as man? He could lay his hand upon both, Job 9, verse 33, and be a means of bringing about a reconciliation. So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, John 1, verse 14. God prepared a body for his Son to assume, and he came and took that body that he might do his Father's will. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. A body hast thou prepared me, Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 7. Now this body must be without sin, and so it was specially prepared in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus. It was not tainted with the guilt and corruption of Adam, but holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, Hebrews 7, verse 26, being prepared by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, Luke 1, verse 35. Yet it was the promised seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, and of the house and lineage of David. So Jesus was born of Mary in Bethlehem, a holy and sinless babe, and grew up to youth and manhood without one sinful thought or action. His manhood was united to his Godhead, and the two natures were in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the great point in this work of redemption was that this mediator should also be a substitute. He was to stand in the place of those that he came to redeem and bear the punishment that was due to their sins so that they might go free. They had broken the law of God and were under the curse of that law and condemned to die eternally, to be under the wrath of God forever and ever. So Christ, as their substitute, was made under the law, Galatians 4, verse 4, and bore the curse of the law for them, Galatians 3, verse 13. In himself, he had no sin and could not be condemned, but God laid upon him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah 53, verse 6. And he bore their sins in his own body on the tree, 1 Peter 2, verse 24, paid the price for their ransom, satisfied the claims of divine justice, and appeased the wrath of God. If we consider who it was for whom the Savior thus stood as a substitute and surety, the Scriptures clearly tell us that it was for many. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, Matthew 26, verse 28. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, Hebrews 9, verse 28. If we inquire who these many are, the Scriptures again inform us. They are the sheep, as distinct from the goats. I lay down my life for the sheep, John 10, verse 15. They are the church of Christ. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, Ephesians 5, verse 25. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts 20, verse 28. Not only is the Lord Jesus a substitute to bear the sins of his people, but he is also their righteousness, and therefore is called the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and each one will be brought to say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Isaiah 14, verses 24 and 25. As the sin of Adam was imputed to all his seed, so the obedience or righteousness of Christ, the second Adam, is imputed to all his spiritual seed. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Romans 5, verse 19. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags, but this righteousness of Christ, when imputed to a sinner and put upon him as the robe of righteousness, Isaiah 61, verse 10, justifies him from all things. The Lord Jesus Christ bears many offices for his people and many relationships to them. He is the great prophet who was promised to Moses, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. Therefore, when he in his manhood was 30 years of age, he was baptized by John the Baptist in the river Jordan, and after being tempted by Satan in the wilderness for 40 days, went into the cities and villages preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and teaching the people. The divine authority of his mission was manifested in the many miracles which he did, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to the dumb, casting out evil spirits, and raising the dead to life. He is also the great high priest for his people. Aaron and the other high priests under the Old Testament offered a sacrifice and took the blood into the holy place and sprinkled it upon the mercy seat over the ark. He also burned incense upon the altar provided for that purpose, and the cloud of incense covered the mercy seat. So Christ, the great high priest, offered himself to God a living sacrifice when he died upon the cross, and then after his resurrection entered heaven with his own blood. There he ever lives to intercede for all who come unto God by him, and presents the incense of the merits of his own sacrifice to mingle with their petitions. He is also king in Zion, and reigns over all things for the good of his people. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth, and as mediator he has entered upon his kingdom, being set down at the right hand of the Father, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He reigns as King of kings and Lord of lords, all principalities and powers being subject unto him. He holds the keys of hell and of death. When he shuts, none can open, and when he opens, none can shut. He has conquered Satan and all the powers of hell and darkness. By him kings reign, and princes decree justice. All men and nations are in his hands, and all creatures under his control. He is the Prince of Life, the Lord of Glory, the Prince of Peace, and of his kingdom and government there shall be no end. He is the head over the church, which is his body, and he is thus united to them, and they to him, each individual believer being a member of his body in particular. He is their bridegroom and husband, and they constitute his bride, which again involves a union that cannot be dissolved. He is the sure foundation, the chief cornerstone, and they built upon him as living stones, each one being fitly joined together and established upon that eternal rock of ages. He is the true and living vine, and they are united to him as living branches, drawing virtue and sap from his fullness. He is the elder brother of the family of God, born for their adversities, being the firstborn from the dead, and the first fruits of them that slept in him. He is the Savior of the lost, the friend of sinners, the Redeemer and ransom of his people. He is the life, the truth, and the way, yea, a new and living way unto the Father, and the door by which his sheep enter into the fold. He is the living bread for their nourishment, and the water of life to satiate their souls. He is the Sun of Righteousness, who shall arise on all who fear his name, and the bright and morning star. Oh, what a Savior he is! And all who are taught of the Spirit are brought to feel their need of him in these particulars. To them, he is altogether lovely and the chief among 10,000. They are brought to feel how sinful and guilty they are, and that such a Redeemer and Substitute and High Priest suits them well. To him alone they look for deliverance from all their transgressions, for righteousness and strength, and for the acceptance of their persons and prayers. Being constrained by his love in dying for them, they desire to live to him, to serve him, and to be his willing and obedient subjects. To him they seek in every time of need and trouble, and cast upon him all their cares and burdens by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. They are brought to be united to him in faith and affection, as their ever-living head and husband, and to rest the weight of their immortal souls upon him and his finished work as a sure foundation. Being of those who are taught to fear his name, though often walking in darkness and having no light, they wait upon him to arise upon their souls with healing power as the Sun of Righteousness. Thus, they are taught to live upon him by faith, and to live to him in humble love and gratitude for all that he has done for them. He has made unto them wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, and in him they have all things and abound, yea, he is their all in all. Having received him thus as Christ Jesus their Lord, they seek so to walk in him by faith, and when the end comes, they die in the faith in which they have thus lived, and are amongst the blessed who die in the Lord. May we be found amongst them, through the Lord's mercy to us, and the work of his Spirit within us.